This is a description of the Lord Jesus. What I'm going to try to do now, and I don't know if it's going to come together or not the way that I want it to, or leave you with anything tonight, but I'm going to, in the first chapter of Revelation, it describes the Lord. He has the brazen feet of judgment. In the 14th chapter of Revelation, you find that he has called the nations together at Jerusalem there, where the Lord also was crucified, the Bible said. And he gathers the wicked and the harvest of the grapes of wrath. Remember that old movie John Steinbeck wrote, The Grapes of Wrath? It's about us Okies. Amen. Hallelujah. But the Bible speaks of the grapes of God's wrath, and their vintage is full, and the wrath of God comes to a full against the inhabitants of the earth. Amen. And he tramples them in his fury with his brazen feet of judgment. Amen. Over in the valley of Jehoshaphat on the east of Jerusalem. Amen. Hallelujah. And so we'll be trying to point some of those things out to you. Amen. And it's a time called the Great Tribulation. It is called the time of Jacob's trouble. This treading of the grapes of wrath is known as the Battle of Armageddon. There are nine great battles fought during the tribulation period, or they are fought during a time called the Day of the Lord. There's the Battle of Babylon. There's the Battle of Damascus. There's the Battle of Lebanon. There's the Battle of Egypt. Egypt is going to be desolate 40 years after her battle. Amen. Maybe a nuclear war. I don't know how it's going to happen, and it may be over in the millennial reign that Egypt is going to be 40 years desolate. No man or beast or jackal will go through Egypt. So great will be the judgment God on Egypt. Amen. But there'll be a highway coming out of Egypt later on during the millennial reign. Amen. Jordan is going to be judged. Would you believe that Jordan is going to become a game preserve during the time of the millennial reign? Amen. It's going to become the whole of every foul and despiteful bird. Amen. And Jordan is going to sink to rise no more. Jordan is Edom. Amen. And God's taking judgment against Edom. Amen. But you know why? Because they said the holy places belong to us. How in the world did Isaiah know that 750 years before Jesus, amen, that Jordan was going to say that the holy places of Jerusalem belong to her? They never did once in any time in past history ever belong to Jordan until after the war of 1948, when they took some of the, and held it till the war of 65, 63, whatever it was. They held it for about 15 years, and now they claim that these holy places called Jerusalem and those holy places belong to them. In fact, we used to, right after Israel became a nation, people that went to see the holy places had to go into Jordan to see Jerusalem. Amen. But after the Six-Day War, Israel got it back. Amen. And so now they're saying those holy places belong to us. How did Isaiah know that? Amen. How did he know they were going to lay claim to the holy places? God said, all right, Jordan, you're in jeopardy. Well, it's going to be the Battle of Jordan. There's going to be the Battle of the Valley of Jehoshaphat. There's going to be the Battle of Armageddon, which I suppose will be, I don't know what sequence they will be in, but I know that last battle will be the last one. They may be all together, the same battle, I don't know, and God take them all on at the same time. I do know that Damascus, the oldest continuing city in the world, according to Isaiah, is going to be at evening time trouble, and in the morning she will not be. Amen. The oldest continuing city in the world, Damascus. And Isaiah lifted up his voice against Damascus. Amen. Abraham traversed the streets of Damascus. Apostle Paul got the Holy Ghost on Straight Street in Damascus. It is the oldest continuing city in the world. And yet Isaiah said, overnight she'll be swept away. Amen. There are terrible, perilous times coming up on the face of this earth. Amen. Folks, we need to be ready. I mean, it is at the door. Hallelujah. Amen. There's three tribulations spoken of by the Word of God, taught clearly, pointed out in the Word of God. One of them is a tribulation for the church. Is there the church going through the tribulation? Yeah, she's going through the tribulation for the church. It started on the day of Pentecost. Amen. It's going to go until translation, till the church is translated. Jesus said, in this world you'll have what? Tribulation. Be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Amen. Now, just because we're not having tribulation here, having some light affliction, but see, 70 of our preachers were killed in Nicaragua in 1988. Amen. Just because they were holy roller preachers, right? Just ordinary nominal Christians, they left them alone. His people is full of God. So the United States and Canada has been remarkably excluded from tribulation. Amen. But our day's coming. Amen. And so we'll have tribulation through great tribulation that we enter into the kingdom of God, or much tribulation. I believe it was Paul and Barnabas told one of the churches, that, and we assured them that through much tribulation we were to enter into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Amen. So although we've not seen a great deal of it here, amen. Did you read that in Iran one of our preachers hung or shot? Amen. But that didn't make no difference. I heard Dwayne Jones tell about it. Yeah, amen. He said there was 10 of them stood up and said, I'll take his place. Glory to God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Saints, we're living in the greatest hour this world has ever known. I'm telling you, this is exciting times. Amen. Glory to God. You better get ready. Okay, let me just read you some scripture here. Revelation 1. I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. In the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hair were white like wool, and as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet were like unto fine brass as if they burned in a furnace. Amen. There's the brazen feet of judgment, and his voice is the sound of many waters. Okay, let's go over to Revelation. Revelation 14, chapter 17th verse. Another angel came out of the temple which is in heaven, having a sharp sickle. Another angel came out from the altar which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, thrust in thy sharp sickle, gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. The angel thrust in his sickle into the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth, and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even under the horses' bridles, about the space of 1,600 furlongs, about 175 or 200 miles. Okay, let's turn over to the book of Isaiah now, about the 63rd chapter of Isaiah, and we'll read some there about the treading of the grapes. You see the brazen feet of judgment. You see the grapes cast into the vat of God's wrath there. And now you see in the 63rd chapter, Isaiah sees this. Who is this that cometh from Edom, Jordan, with dyed garments from Bozra? You heard about Bozra in the southern Iraq. Amen. This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. And the Lord answers the prophet, I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. And the prophet asked him, wherefore art thou red in thine apparel and thy garments, like him that treadeth in the wine fat? Then he answered and said, I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me, for I will tread them in mine anger, trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment for the day of vengeance. Amen. The Bible speaks of the day of God's wrath, the day of the Lord, the great day of the Lord, the day of God's vengeance. Amen. It's talking about the great tribulation period, time of Jacob's trouble. Hallelujah. Some scholars believe it also includes the great day of the Lord, the great judgment day, which will be the millennial reign. Amen. But we know it's going to be a time of wars and dark clouds and thickness, darkness. Amen. And so the Bible said, woe be unto him that desires the day of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. We don't have any pleasure in the day of the Lord, for the day of the Lord is a time, amen, of great trouble. I never felt so sorry hearted for anybody as I did for the Iraqis when they were being bombed, amen. And not that I had any qualms about that. It was just, it was a war, amen. And it was terrible, being murdered by the thousands. I prayed for the people. I pray for the people of Iraq. I pray for the people of this world. I pray for the United States, amen. I pray for everybody. Man, I tell you, this world is sick. I thought my heart would break. I was up in Utah. An old Linville crowd had been preaching along these lines from night after night. And I heard old Brother Smith, the pastor of that local congregation there, cry out in the spirit one night as we was praying. He said, oh, God, Jesus comes again. Oh, God, that's your king on his throne. Wouldn't you like to see that king on his throne tonight? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. All right, let me go on now. There's a lot to this. Amen. The second tribulation is for the Jew. Amen. Now, the Jew's tribulation comes from the Antichrist. He didn't come from the Lord. His trouble comes from the Antichrist. Amen. Now, there's going to be a tribulation for the Gentile nation. Now, this comes from the Lord because God has got a controversy with the nations. And he brings them up into the valley of Jehoshaphat there. He has a great controversy with the nations. And that controversy is, what have you done with Jesus? Amen. That's going to be the question. Hallelujah. That's the thing you're going to have to be concerned about. What have you done with Jesus? Amen. See, here's another one that kind of gets me fired up too. I hear him say, we're going to heal the body of Christ. Amen. And they mean by that they're going to get everybody together at one place, you know, even though they're different denominations and different people of different faiths, and it's going to be so wonderful, we're going to get together and heal the body of Christ. Well, they're operating on a false premise there because, saints, I'm going to tell you, there's nothing wrong with the body of Christ on this earth. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, there's nothing wrong with the body of Christ on this earth. The body of Christ is healthy and well and alive on planet earth. And all you got to do is make up your mind what you're going to do with Jesus. If you're going to be part of it or not. Hallelujah. That's all you got to make up your mind about. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand. Glory, glory, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, let me go back to Ezekiel 47, now 37. About the Valley of Dry Bones. And what's so good about this is that this has already taken place. This scripture that I read in your hearing has yet to take place. Amen. But inasmuch as this has taken place, it gives me hope and courage to believe that the rest of it's going to come to pass too, just like the prophets of old said. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Ezekiel 37, the hand of the Lord was upon me, carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bone, called me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in an open valley, and lo, they were very dry. Boy, we Pentecostal people like to jump on that one. We know what dry is, don't we? Hey, ain't nobody drier than Pentecost when we're dry. We're the deadest of the dead. We can't wiggle our big toe. Hey, hallelujah. So he said unto me, son of man, can these bones live? And Ezekiel was too full of unbelief to say yes, and he was too polite to tell the Lord he didn't believe they could. Amen. And so he said, oh, Lord, you know. I like that. Zeke was quite a diplomat. Amen. Can these bones live again? Amen. You know, God's talking questions. Amen. God talks in questions. He said, Adam, where are you? Who told you you were naked? What is this thou hast done? I mean, you know, soon to get one answer, he'd ask him another one. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, God is talking questions. Amen. He said, can these bones live again? He said, oh, Lord, you know. So he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones. Say, oh, you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones. Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live, and I will lay sinew upon you and bring up flesh upon you and cover you with skin. Put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord. Talk about reassurance. Remember what I preached on this morning? Reassurance. And he said, when I do this, you're going to know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. I like that. Amen. Behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Amen. Then he said unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up on their feet, an exceeding great army. I wonder what those valley full of bones were. Isn't that a mystery? Isn't that a mystery? If that's all you knew about that, it'd make you wonder what that valley full of bones were. Was. Amen. But see, the best commentary on Scripture is Scripture itself. So what's the next verse say? Amen. Verse 11. He said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Isn't that plain? Amen. You wonder what the comforter is? And I looked over in the book of John and said, when the Holy Ghost comes, who is the comforter? Ooh, ain't that plain? Amen. I'm telling you, the best commentary on Scripture is Scripture itself. Amen. It'll tell you what. It'll interpret itself. Hallelujah. So he said unto me, Son of man, these bones, I imagine Ezekiel wondered what they were. Amen. That's what he asked Zerubbabel over in Zechariah. You know, he saw these two olive trees and that candlestick, and they said, Zechariah said, what are these? Or Zerubbabel said, what are these? Amen. Zechariah said, don't you know what these are? The fellow was talking to him, said, don't you know what those are? Those two olive trees and that candlestick? They said, man, no. You mean you don't know what that is? No, am I supposed to know? You know what? Don't know what that is? Take me a long time to figure that out. Amen. So Zechariah 4 and 6, they said, well, this is the word of the Lord to Zechariah, or Zerubbabel. Amen. This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. That's what the two olive trees and the candlestick was. It's the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, by my spirit. Well, who would have known that? Who would have ever guessed that? I'm telling you, the best commentary on Scripture is Scripture itself. I thought the veil in the Old Testament was to keep somebody out. The writer of Hebrews said, no, that's not why it was there. The veil, he said, signified that the way into the holiest of all had not yet been made manifest. That's why the veil was there. I said, oh, I see that now. Isn't that plain? That's so simple now. That's what the Bible said. Knowledge is easy to him that has understanding. Hallelujah. And so he told Ezekiel, said, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Amen. Behold, they say our bones are dried, our hope is lost, we're cut off my parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves. And I shall put my spirit in you and you shall live. And I will place you in your own land. And then shall you know, be reassured that I am the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, here's something amazing, too. See, this was 700 years before Jesus. It was about 2,700 years ago when this preacher preached this. I don't know when Ezekiel preached. I was thinking about Isaiah. Amen, hallelujah. But anyhow, right before our very eyes, he said, I will return you to the land of Israel. Of Israel. So they say, have you been to Israel? Maybe why didn't they call it Jacob? Why didn't they call it Edomia or Palestine or something else? 2,700 years ago, Ezekiel said it would be called Israel. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. 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 Oh, that's so plain. Well, that is just, I am so excited. But let me tell you this. I want you to notice just three things with me real quickly and hurriedly. God on Israel. He said, I'm going to put my spirit in you. And see, a lot of people say that this fulfillment, this regathering of Israel that you see now is not really Bible prophecy being fulfilled because they haven't started serving the Lord yet. Amen. They're returning in unbelief. If it was a real fulfillment of prophecy, that they would be returning believing the Lord. But this very fact that they returned and became an exceeding great army and no spirit in them, no life in them as yet, see, that indicates they are returning in unbelief. They actually become an exceeding great army and a nation to be reckoned with. They have got an air force. If you don't believe it, ask Egypt. Ask Saddam Hussein. Amen. They took out one of his nuclear reactors. Amen. Pretty quick. Amen. And so they returned in unbelief just like Ezekiel said they would. Amen. And then later he prophesies to the wind and the wind begins to blow on Israel. Hallelujah. Begins to move. Begins to motivate. Hallelujah. They don't understand it. Amen. There's 40,000 of them came from Russia. And I'm telling you something else that you're going to see. Amen. And you're going to think it's funny, but there's going to be Jews from America. Go back to Palestine. Go back to Israel. Amen. We haven't seen many of them. They're not many of the Jews from America return to Israel. Amen. But I've almost wanted to go myself. Haven't you? Amen. I love that land. Amen. I had an old buddy up in Tulsa, Oklahoma. He said, Brother Reed, I went over there one day. Stayed a couple of weeks in Israel. I said, I'm telling you, you just know to be there where Jesus has walked. Amen. And the Holy Ghost fell. And to see Bible markers that you know along the way. And he said, we got on board that old plane. And that old pilot banked it and we turned. You could see Tel Aviv down there and started out towards that Mediterranean Sea. He said, I couldn't help it. I began to weep like a baby. But God's moving of his spirit up on Israel. Amen. Then the motivation that puts it in their heart to go. Amen. Now, it's a known fact. He has to stir up their nest. He made it so rough for them in Russia they wanted to leave. Hallelujah! Glory to God. I don't know what he's going to do in America to get the Jew to leave America, but I'm here to prophesy to you. They're coming from all the countries of the world. Hallelujah. And they're coming home. Oh, glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. 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 They tell about those old Israeli men when they come over those airplanes. First thing they do, they'll bow down on their hands and face and literally kiss that hard, sandy soil of Israel. Amen. Just glad to get home. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Things are going to get bad. They're going to get bad for Israel. The Antichrist is it's going to make Nazi Germany look like a cakewalk. The Antichrist is going to try one last time to do away with Israel. Amen. If they can do away with Israel, they can do away with God. Amen. They can do away with all Bible prophecy. Amen. If they can keep that from being fulfilled, the purpose of God is defeated. Amen. And they're going to bring all their powers to bear on it. And the Jew is going to be, yeah, it's a good thing the church is going to be gone. Amen. It's going to be, oh, you want to be in this rapture. You want to be in that first resurrection. I'll tell you that much. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So there's going to be a tribulation for Israel. And there's going to be a tribulation for the Gentile nations. God's going to gather all nations except Canada and the United States together at Jerusalem. Doesn't say that. Amen. Hallelujah. They're all, you know, it was remarkable to me that they were all there in Saudi Arabia, just right in that special area. Amen. Amen. And all it had to done to get everybody to turn against Israel then is just for Israel to got into it. Amen. And then it's not going to take it long to work out when Israel says, well, we're going to have to do something about it. Amen. And then the whole United Nations comes together. You're going to see more power in the United Nations than she ever had. Amen. It's going to work toward a one world government. As President Bush has talked about the new world order. Amen. It's coming. Church of God, it is upon us. Hallelujah. All nations are going to come against Israel there. Not only Antichrist, amen, but all the armies of the world. Amen. Hallelujah. Did you ever feel like the whole world was against you? Did you ever have that feeling? Remember hearing Charles Greenaway talking about when he's taking his little boy to get a blood transfusion during his for his leukemia, his car broke down, he had a flat, little sick baby sitting on his mother's lap in the front seat of the car, would die at 2:00 the next morning. He had that old car jacked up, you know, trying to change the tire, and one of his district officials come by, passed him and didn't even stop. Said, I know he didn't see me. I know he didn't see me. I know he didn't know who it was. But he said, I leaned up against that old Plymouth car. Said, I never was so sure in all of my life that everything in the world was against me. Oh, I saw that old man today. Amen. Oh, he said, I'm so glad I didn't quit then. Didn't quit then. He went on to preach the gospel to 15 tribes in Africa that had never heard the name of Jesus till they heard it from him. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, that's the feeling Israel is going to have. The whole world is going to be gathered against the Jew. Amen. But about the time they think they have won the victory, let me tell you, there's a champion riding out of heaven on a white horse going to God. It's going to take their part, and the world is going to tremble. Give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. Amen. But it's going to be so tough. Amen. There's going to be a melding. The moving and the motivation and the melding of the Spirit of God on Israel. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh. Oh, this is Zechariah 14. And the spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee, for I will gather all nations against Jerusalem. See that? All nations. All nations. To battle, and the city shall be taken, the houses rifled, and the women ravished. Half of the city will go forth to captivity. The residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord fight. Go forth and fight against those nations, as when he fought in the day of battle. His feet shall stand in that day upon Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst toward thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley. Half of the mountain shall move toward the north, half of it to the south. And you shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Uzziah. Yea, you shall flee as you fled before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah. The Lord my God shall come and all his saints with him. Glory to God. And that day it shall come to pass that the light shall be not clear nor dark. It shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night. But it shall come to pass at the evening time it shall be light. That's the prophets say that when this thing is going to be turned up, the sun, the light of the sun will be as 7 days, and the light of the moon will be as the sun. John Hall said that he was reading that one day, and he said that's when that's going to happen at the end of the great tribulation there. Okay, let's go back to chapter 13, verse 10. Hallelujah. All right, verse 8. It shall come to pass in that day, the day of the Lord, that I will seek to destroy all the nations that shall come against Jerusalem. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace. And of supplication, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for me as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. In that day there shall be a great mourning in Jerusalem, as a mourning of Hadarim in the valley of Megiddon. The land shall mourn every family apart, the family in the house of David apart, and their wives. It's going to be like the old Jewish did back in the synagogue. The women will be off in one part. The house of David will be by himself. The house of Levi will be over here. The house of Judah will be over here. They'll be segregated. And the women will be over on one side. They'll be weeping. And the men will be on the other side, and they'll be weeping. Amen. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. One fellow told me, said, boy, we used to have church. Said, I'm telling you, said, we was out in the country and said, the women would go off down here under this grove and they'd pray, and said, the men would go over in this grove and pray. And said, boy, when we'd come together that night, we would have church. Well, I said, that's the same. It'll happen again today. Women go over here and pray, and men go over here and pray an hour or two. Amen. Get ready to have church. Amen. I'll tell you, there's some prayers around this church. I'm telling you, all got some prayers. You've got a very unusual church here. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 The family of the house of Levi part, their wives, family of Shimei and their wives part, the family that remain, every family apart and their wives apart. Chapter 13. In that day shall be a fountain open to the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. Well, it was open nearly 2,000 years ago, you know. It's just now open to them because I just now saw it. Amen. And so they look upon him whom they have pierced. Glory to God. And this is when a nation's going to be born in a day. Amen. Going to be brought forth in a day. Amen. When the Lord comes back and all of his saints with him, we'll be with him then. Amen. Hallelujah. But you know, I like to think about this, bring it a little closer to home. The path that the Holy Ghost took with the nation of Israel is the same path he takes with the individual. Same path he took with me to bring me into the house of God. First, there was the moving of the Spirit in my life. It's like in the book of Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of the Lord moved upon the face of the water. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was walking the streets of Tulsa, Oklahoma, lost and undone. Amen. When God looked down from heaven and sent the Holy Ghost, amen, on the darkness that covered my soul, and said, let there be light in Reed Gibson's pathway. Hallelujah. And the light began to shine. And the Spirit of God began to move. Hallelujah. Ever so gently behind the scenes, motivating me to the house of God. Now, I'll guarantee you, my dad had said, go to the house of God and get a wife. Amen. I was getting ready to get a wife. But behind it all, I see the motivation of the Spirit. That's not enough to be moved upon or be motivated. We have to be melded. Amen. This is where God wants us, is melded in his presence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now the Holy Ghost wants to melt you. And he has ways of melting you. Amen. He wants to do it just by falling upon you. I remember old brother M.E. Collins, president of Southwestern when I was there years ago, said he was a Christian minister for 10 years before he got the Holy Ghost. He had been in the army at World War I and saw his buddies die at his side, and he said, I hadn't shed a tear in over 10 years till in 1926 when God filled me with the Holy Ghost. And when I got filled with the Holy Ghost, he said, all the fountains of the deep were broken up. I began to weep. Didn't know why I was weeping. Hallelujah. Didn't know what was wrong. Just melted. Just melted. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, if God can't do you just by the gentle moving, you know. Amen. A light shined into Peter's prison, but that didn't wake him up. The angel had to hit him on the side. That woke him up. Had to get his attention. Amen. To melt him down. Hallelujah. The Bible teaches this. By sorrow of heart is the spirit broken. See, if God can't break your spirit just by the Holy Ghost moving on you, well, then he breaks your heart. Then with a heart that's broken, the spirit's broken, then he saveth such as be of a broken and a contrite spirit. See, that's why trouble comes. Some of us would never break. We're not for the trouble. God's sending trouble. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus said it's going to be a time of trouble that the world has ever known. No, nor ever shall be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Friend, it's time to fall before him.